What's timing, is it?
No, it's not. It's a little different. I call the April 19th, 2018 Planning Commission meeting to order at 6:30 PM. I'd like for all to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, on our agenda tonight, we've got, of course, open the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. And then we're going to look at any public comments for items not already on the agenda. We will approve the minutes for the March 21st, 2018 meeting. Then we have an action item, a request for action by the Planning Commission on MP-18-02, the scissor lip preliminary partition. And then we will view the planning activity report. Planning Commission agenda forecaster. We'll have commissioner comments, and then we will adjourn. So at this point in time, we will entertain any comments from the public for items that are not already on the agenda. Nobody jumping in there. So, did you have something?
The 5 acres of Oaklea.
I'd like to address that. So,
okay, go ahead.
There was a public notice sent out regarding the 5 acre parcel on Oaklea Drive. Unfortunately, a referral didn't go out to the agency partners in time to review that, to have that listed for tonight's agenda. That will be coming back before the Planning Commission at next month's standing meeting.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was trying to speak with Mr. Frakier on the telephone today. It got off in short order, so I want to get an opportunity to let him know.
Okay.
Man, a few words.
All right, then we will get the approval for the March 21st, 2018 Planning Commission minutes.
Make a motion, we approve the minutes.
Second.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. None opposed. Then, at this point in time, we will move on to the MP-18-02, scissor lip preliminary partition. I'm having difficulty with that word tonight. The preliminary partition. All right. Mr. Cockburn, I'm going to let you get this started off with that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. So before you tonight is the Zerlip preliminary partition, file number MP-18-02. This is a request for a partition to divide an existing lot into three tax lots. The site of this particular partition is in between 1st and 2nd Avenue, sort of east of the Winnebago site out there on East 1st. You may be familiar with this, as so we've already gone through, I believe, two partition requests for adjacent sites that were under the same ownership, no longer under the same ownership. There are existing facilities on site, and Public Works hasn't stated much in the way of concerns with this particular request. Like I stated, there were some previous files associated with this, including PLA 16-01, MP 16-02, and MP 17-03, so it's been a long, staggered out process, basically to avoid the subdivision process. Understanding that the preliminary part, or excuse me, the minor partition allows for panhandles, which seems to be the best use of this particular site. So the policies that are related to this request are JCMC chapter 16-05 regarding preliminary partitions, as well as the mapping and platting standards. And I'm gonna go ahead and work through the staff report here. Based on the submittal that I received from the applicant, there were a few concerns that I had. But before we do that, I'd like to sort of talk about the commenting process. And so, we do send out a 300-foot notice to the area neighbors and give them an opportunity to provide some commentary. We didn't receive anything as part of the staff report deadline. However, we did receive one email that came in the day after that deadline. And so I'll go ahead and read that into the record, because there are some items of note here that we'd like to address. This is from Shannon Breeden at 241 Cedar Street. Her concern, and I'll go ahead and just read her statement verbatim here. It says, "As you already know, this area is a wetland, and I would like to know what measures would be put into place to ensure the area would not flood once a structure is built over the slough. I'm concerned that during heavy rains, it would not drain fast enough, and it would flood the area. Also, what do you plan to do to protect local wildlife?" She goes on to talk about an existing rabbit den near the site and the possibility of, affecting that wildlife in that area. I'd rather not read it verbatim, as it's somewhat graphic. However, she did state that if a structure is built over the culvert under it and there's not enough drain to drain the heavy rains, she might get flood damage, and she would not file a claim with her insurance, but instead be hiring a lawyer. Her question is, if the development occurs, whose property taxes are you going to increase in order to pay for the culvert under the property? So I'd like to address those concerns specifically before I get into the report. Number one, the measures that would be put into place to ensure that there's no flooding if a structure is built over the slough. The site is indeed protected by the Wetland Resource District overlay, which exempts or prohibits any structures to be built, new structures to be built over that drainage facility. That's JCMC 17.60.120 regarding prohibited activities within the wetland protection area. So that alleviates that particular concern. Regarding displacement of wildlife, the Junction City Municipal Code doesn't necessarily address displacement of non-threatened wildlife. You know, it's sort of just a casualty of development. And in terms of tax increases, ultimately that decision lies with Lane County Tax and Assessment. Again, city has no control over that. As a type 2 process, we'll be looking at this particular application substantively, and I don't believe that these questions really raise any concerns based on the criteria that this application needs to follow. So just want to make sure and address that public comment before we move on here. And so moving through the staff report, it seemed pretty straight ahead. I went ahead and provided a larger copy of the preliminary plan there, just to give you a better idea, because the 8.5 by 11 doesn't exactly show too well. And so as you can see, there's three lots that are proposed. All of them meet the minimum lot size requirements, minimum widths, minimum depths. However, I did have some concerns with the panhandle lot width, as it's shown at 7 feet. The applicant has proposed to utilize the existing access easement to the east of the property that was previously under the same ownership. However, it's no longer under the same ownership. And like I stated in the staff report and the proposed Planning Commission final order here, it's not sufficient width to serve the site, as that easement that's existing on the parcel to the east at the time did not cover that portion of the panhandle. Now, I've included some recommended conditions of approval that would suffice and move this application along. However, the applicant's representative is here tonight in the audience and has informed me that they did indeed record an easement of sufficient width in order to meet the standard. So if you look at that 7-foot panhandle in conjunction with the 18-foot wide panhandle and easement to the east, directly to the east, you'd have a 25-foot minimum width. And under the code, the panhandle section, the minimum panhandle width shall be as follows: for two or more rear lots, 25 feet. So that would suffice if that is indeed correct. However, I wouldn't recommend taking these conditions out. I would still recommend leaving them in, because as the plan is submitted, we still need those protections in place at the time of final plat submittal. So my recommendation would be to move that along under the assumption that the applicant is going to go ahead and return with a final plat that shows that easement granting access to the three parcels. Now, there was some concern, again, from that public comment regarding, structures being built over the slough. And so, part of this question here is, well, are these parcels large enough to facilitate residential development? And as we see on proposed parcel 2, it seems that wetland area is significantly impacting that particular lot. And so the question is, well, would there be sufficient area for a home to be built? And so I did some quick math this afternoon, just kind of looking at that, trying to determine what area would be allowed for residential development. And I came up with something like 3,800 square feet, roughly, of residential development area. And I believe that you could certainly build a home within the 3,800 square feet and still meet your setback requirements. It may be a small home, but you'd certainly be able to do so. Again, you know, we do allow for passive and active recreation within the wetland areas. They just can't place any structures or build anything. They can build footbridges across it as long as they meet certain standards. So again, that yard area could be utilized with the understanding that it is a drainage facility as well as a wetland, a protected wetland area. So I believe we've, you know, certainly addressed some of that suitability for the intended use criteria as well under the planning standards. So as you'll see under the panhandle width requirements, I've included a condition there. Moving on, like I stated with the easement requirement further along under sub H, I've also recommended a condition of approval there that states that they have to prepare an easement with sufficient width under the code to provide access to parcel 2 and 3. So I believe that with the application that's been submitted, the conditions that staff is recommending, I believe that this would indeed meet the intent of the code and the letter of the code and would be able to be approved tonight. So I'd be happy to answer any more questions on it, but other than that, it's a pretty straightforward partition application.
Thank you. I had a couple of things here on page 14 of that report. So you talked about then the two panhandled lots, and the preliminary plat shows a panhandle width of 7 feet. Mm-hmm. So you're saying with the additional easement and that 7 feet, they meet the 25-foot width requirement?
Correct. If you look at the parcel directly to the east with the hash marks across mm-hmm. it, that's mm-hmm. 18 feet wide at the head. An additional 7 feet would give them the 25 feet required by the code.
Okay, yeah. Okay. That I thought that I had heard you say that. And then, as stated within the findings, and this is on page 14 as well, it says minimum access paving width of the panhandle or abutting driveway used shall be as follows. If they've got an easement there of 18 feet, they're not allowed to build on the easement. So they have 7 feet for driveway.
So that would be an access easement. And again.
Okay.
Which would allow for that for the to meet the particular standard. However, with the paving standard, what you have is 3 to 4 parcels needing a minimum of 20 feet. Mm. So mm-hmm. it may or may not suffice in this case. They may need to ultimately adjust their parcel boundary to provide an additional 2 feet or so.
All right, because I know generally when you've got a utilities easement, but you say it's an access easement, not a utilities easement.
They can live together, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but ultimately it would be up to the maintenance agreement between the parcels in order to repair that property if they ran utilities down that line.
Okay. And that takes care of the things that I found that you had indicated did not meet the requirements. As such, you had conditions of approval were warranted.
Certainly.
So I just wanted to double check on those.
Yeah. So, you know, again, that 25 feet should get it there. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anything else from anyone?
I had a question for you.
Sure.
You said they were exempt from park SDCs. Does that come back?
I don't believe I ever stated they'd be.
Well, I read something in the back on my reading cram today that since it was a.
As it's a partition, they're not required to provide parkland, recreation land.
That was my question. But they will have park SDCs
and
building permit
on. Yeah.
Okay, that was my question there.
Certainly.
The other one, the bigger map, solved the problem. The little map looked like there wasn't anything left.
Yeah.
I thought, a good place for a duck pond. But
it certainly has its constraints. But I think the applicant well understands that and is trying to work within that framework.
Well, I think there's a real market for smaller homes, so it's a good spot for one. Try it, build it skinny and tall.
Tiny homes are in the code now. Anyone else? Any other commissioners? Any questions, concerns, comments?
I like the little trees.
Thank you. Well. Looking at a motion.
Make a motion, we approve the petition for tax lot 102, assessors map 16040500, with the conditions of approval listed above, and on the following findings of fact. The findings of fact are based on the preliminary plat which is attached.
To be clear, does that include an easement, a written easement? Is that one of the conditions of approval?
Could you restate the motion? I don't believe that's the correct tax lot or correct motion for this particular request.
Okay. Let me double check here. Where did that motion go off? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, on the very back.
Yeah, back page.
Back page, 2 of 2.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that again. Yeah, we'll go almost to the very back.
Or page 2, right at the front. Right at the very front.
Or page 2. Oh, I'm sorry, that's page 2 at the very front. My
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
I did say 2 of 2.
There you go.
There you go, right at the top.
I knew it was right there somewhere. Yeah. Find it either.
I'd like to correct that motion to make a motion to approve of the condition as stated in the final order as modified by the Planning Commission. We didn't modify. Continue the preliminary petition of tax lot 12203 of assessor's map 1504-3243, file number MT18-02.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Thank you.
All right. I guess we'll move directly on then. Planning activity report. Mr. Cosper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Or I believe would be the last. Perhaps.
I'm having fun.
Perhaps. So it's been, you know, again, increasingly busy in the planning world as well as the building world, but let's go ahead and talk about some planning stuff. Right now, we're processing some applications for the school district, including some middle school and Laurel Elementary. These are for some seismic upgrades as well as some partition walls. We've received a development review application for an office structure down at 3rd and Greenwood that they're looking to convert to some apartment buildings. It's an unfortunate step in our regulatory process that they have to go through in order to make sure that they meet the land use requirements for that space, even though it's a pretty straight ahead remodel in order to convert it into multi-use type development. And let's see, what else? So we're currently looking at ways to streamline the code as well as fixing some discrepancies and updating some legislative changes currently at the Community Development Committee level. This is all sort of included as part of some talks regarding affordable housing, as well as recent applications for parking reductions and the boarding house issue that's been coming up quite a bit lately. And so we're still trying to get a lot of this stuff ironed out and hopefully bring a proposal to the council to initiate a code text, a bit of a more comprehensive code text amendment, knowing that we're not going to get everything complete in the first run, but at least get a good chunk of it done that we need to get done and back before this body, hopefully before June. So be on the lookout for that. We did have an appeal that went before the council regarding the Planning Commission's decision for the Reserve Phase 3. They had requested that we remove conditions 8, 9, and 11, being conditioned upon improvements to Oakley Drive as they're relative to the county's conditions, as well as requirements for wetland determination and delineation, and then the last one being the recreation land requirement. The council determined that the wetland portion and the Oakley improvements would certainly be handled during the development process, and those could be removed from the conditions of approval, as we don't have a legal basis to require those things at the subdivision level. However, the applicant didn't really address their recreation needs for the subdivision at the planning commission at the time, and so the council felt that that condition was certainly warranted. So we left that one in there. It's still up to the applicant to either determine that the space at the north end that's under city's ownership is suitable for that particular use, or provide us with additional acreage that would suffice for that development. Still haven't seen a final come back on that. It's my understanding they're still working through some of those surveys through the State Historic Preservation Office regarding the cultural resource sites. We're hoping that that will keep moving along and get wrapped up. I was hoping to bring the EEC holding preliminary subdivision tonight, the subdivision 18-01. As I stated during the public comment period, we just happen to not get the proper referrals out in time. I want to make sure that the agencies all have an opportunity to comment on this, as it's directly adjacent to the Reserve Phase 3, working with the same applicant's representative. Therefore, we'd like to make sure that whatever we bring to the Planning Commission and have ample time for referrals is complete and comprehensive. So that'll come back next month with a nice staff report attached to that, making sure that we're within our purview when it comes to looking at things from a subdivision perspective. Still, we still have a Planning Commission vacancy on the alternate position. Still trying to get the word out. That's going to remain open until filled. And then regarding the building activities, I'm happy to report that we have indeed hired an in-house building official. He also serves as your Planning Commission chair currently, Mr. Stuart Holderby.
So the guy will never last. Yeah.
So we're currently working to revamp the Planning and Building Office to provide him with a proper space. And I'm looking forward to having an office mate currently, because it's just been me down there. So take some of the burden off the planner in terms of the building stuff, and I have a feeling that Stuart and I are going to get along quite well and make things move a little more efficiently here. So, but other than that, busy, busy, busy.
Now's the time for the candy.
What's that?
Now's the time for the candy.
Now's the time for the candy. Yes.
I also want to report that we did receive, since this report was printed, we did receive the development review application for the tractor supply store at the north end of town. So that's still rolling along. The building permits for the Y property for the grocery outlet and farm-based credit union still chugging through. They're just about wrapped up, is my understanding, so they should be able to get busy. They've already submitted for their 1200 C permit, so they're going to bring in a ton of fill to get that thing up out of the floodplain. And then they'll get busy with their infrastructure work. They're hoping to really get rolling here, short order. The development review for the tractor store should be completed within the next 3 weeks, and their development really is contingent upon getting the infrastructure from the grocery outlet site. So that's going to keep moving forward. It's also my understanding that we should be seeing an application for a fairly large apartment complex at 18th and Magnolia within the next few weeks. Pretty sure that's going to be happening in the next few weeks. They're saying they're talking like early, mid-May, so that's going to be another big deal. Big time housing project that we kind of need in terms of affordable housing and housing options for Jefferson City. So, yeah. But happy to answer any questions on stuff I just reported.
You do have an application put in for the housing?
Not quite. But it's imminent. My understanding is that they will be submitting a major variance application that will be coming before this body. That's why I bring this up, because they're going to be looking at ways to either reduce their parking numbers or some other metric so that they can utilize the space as they like to use the space.
How many units?
I'm not sure at this time. Ultimately, that would be contingent upon whether or not they're going to receive a variance for their parking or not. See, if there are any questions, Jeff.
Don't know how many units, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions, comments, or anything from any of?
Just you two gentlemen are gonna be busy, that's good.
Yes. So, I guess with that, then we'll entertain, oh, I'm sorry. Future business items.
Yeah, I gotta do some agenda forecaster here, really it's pretty straight ahead. Just got what we listed tonight, the next item that's coming for you is that EDC Holdings preliminary subdivision. That's for a five lot subdivision directly adjacent to the reserve phase three. They're gonna continue that same, they're hoping to continue that same track of duplex parcels at 11th with the remaining multifamily and commercial residential sort of to the south and southeast. As part of that, the city will be looking for dedications to extend Breckenridge and 10th out, because we all know that's all gonna occur right around the same period, and share some of those expenses. Other than that, there's not much going on in the forecaster.
All right, now do you guys have any other comments? Now that you got that?
I always do.
Go.
Just remember to bring in flowers.
Bring in flowers. I'll pick some out of the garden. If there's no commissioner comments, then we'll move to adjournment.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, second.
I believe that you have a statement you would need to make.
Oh, final business. I thought that was going to be after everything. Yes, indeed. Okay. Due to my hiring with the city as a building official, it requires me then to step down from the chair position of the Planning Commission. I will be attending the meetings as ex officio member, so I'll be here for information and to go ahead and have input into those decisions for your benefit. So I effectively resign this evening.
Do we have to make a motion to put Alicia on the board at this time?
So, unfortunately, the way the bureaucracy works is that, you know, we still have to notice out for that position because we currently have a vacancy for an alternate. This will create a vacancy for a regular seat. And under our current guidelines and bylaws, Alicia is still not eligible to become a regular city member due to her residency requirements.
Okay.
So, unfortunately not.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when do we replace this one?
As soon as possible. As soon as we receive some applications. As soon as we receive them, I'll be presenting them to you guys for review.
You guys will be able to nominate?
Yeah, you guys can nominate a chair, or Commissioner Hufield can still serve as the vice chair in the interim, but that's ultimately up to you.
We'll just move him up. He's proven himself to do a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm. Terry, are you familiar with the process? Do we need to have that as an official business item for chair nomination?
Yes.
I'll bring that back next month.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the interim, Commissioner Hugel could certainly sit in the position as the vice chair.
Well, Alicia will still be sitting in as an alternate, though.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Any other business? Anything at all? I've forgotten two items, so. Here we go. Right back there in the back.
Right there, back there in the back. Mark Crenshaw, Mayor of Junction City.
Oh, you got to be recognized.
Yeah, you're in costume.
I guess I have to apologize to you all for not being a frequent participant at your meetings, but I did come tonight just to take the opportunity to thank you all for your volunteerism in the community. It's very, very wonderful that you guys are able to share your time and expertise to benefit the needs of the city. So you guys are due an applause and a pat on the back and all that kind of stuff. Not just blowing smoke. It's
so are you. You get the same check we get.
You know what? It's incredibly important.
Thank you very much.
It's incredibly important what you guys do, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate the work and effort that you put into volunteering for the community. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was kind of sneaky being an undercover boss back there.
You bet.
Well, I would like to say that it has been, you know, a lot of fun for me to sit here and go through this. And I think each one of you does a fantastic job. The input that we get here goes a long ways for helping us to make the decisions. So thank you all for participating and being here as a group. And I took great honor in being able to be the chair for the length of time that I was. So thank you.
You've done a great job.
Yes.
Yes. It's a tough job.
Thank you.
Now, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Always the slowest vote.
No.
Are you saving the planet this week?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.